In Esther 5, as we walk through this a little bit later, but I introduced the title of this message is Good Advice, Bad Advice. You need to know the difference. maybe you're not a basketball fan, but one thing's for sure, unless you're not watching any news at all, you should probably know that there's a tournament going on, right? It's a wrestling tournament. Oh, I'm sorry. It's a basketball tournament. Okay. Yeah, so that's on all the news channels. It's on it. And one thing about the coaches or teachers or parents or grandparents and doctors and counselors and lawyers, we're giving advice all the time, right? It's constantly going on. And there's good advice and there's bad advice. Now, advice can be really helpful or it can be really hazardous to your health. And you got to kind of walk through what all that is. You're going to help me this morning just as a part of introduction. So I'm going to put up three very common things that you've heard or read over the years. If you think it's good, you give it a thumbs up. So back home, thumbs up. If you think it's bad, it's thumbs down. And if you're thinking, well, it could be good or it could be bad, you could do one of these, all right? Going both ways, it all depends. All right, so here we go. So our first one we want to deal with is this one here. You should always say what's on your mind. I got the same response in the first service. That's really bad advice, isn't it? How many of you have actually practiced that once or twice in your life and regretted it? Like on the way out, you're trying to catch the words before they get to somebody else's ear. So that's bad. Okay, how about this one? Maybe this is a little bit. The secret of getting ahead is getting started. All right, I got some thumbs up. Some people aren't voting. Are you awake out there? All right, it's okay. So, okay, that's pretty good. At least it sounds good. All right, that's good. How about this one? Maybe a little trickier. It's the thought that counts. I got a sideways and up, a down. We're all over the place on this one, isn't it? Right, yeah. So, one thing's for sure, you got to be careful about the kind of advice you get. In fact, we can summarize it like this. You don't really want to ignore nor accept advice based solely on human source. I worded that carefully because advice from a human source, it could be good, but it could be really bad even with good intentions. The source is the important thing, which kind of leads us to our first big idea about source. We want to talk about advice because source is essential. When we look at chapter 5 in Esther, it really is just two big sections. Esther takes one bit of advice, and we're going to see that, and then Haman takes another bit of advice. And it will make a big difference on what happens in their lives and the lives of other people. Now, there are a lot of sources. This is a great discussion for your family and a great discussion for small groups or gathering together for meals on all the different sources. I am not covering them all. I'm just throwing three up there for discussion purposes. We have friends, we have family, we have leaders. I kind of want to walk through that using biblical examples just for a moment here. Hopefully they kind of get us started here. So let's take friends. You don't have to turn. If you want to, you can. But here's an example of taking advice from friends, good friends. 1 Kings, I believe. Yes, chapter 12. You know this story. We reviewed it at the beginning of our Esther series. This kind of leads us up to where we're at. So Rehoboam is now becoming the king. His father Solomon just died. And they weren't real happy with Solomon, but since he had been there for so long, he's David's kid, he's powerful, I'm not going to say anything to that guy. We're going to wait for the next guy. So here comes Rehoboam, the young son, and now the people step forward because honestly, as wise as Solomon was, he did a lot of stupid things. Just the way it happened. He taxed his people horribly. You talk about the tax code in America. I don't know. I don't think it comes close to what it was back in those days. And the people were upset about it. How many of you want to vote for higher taxes right now? Anybody? Thumbs up. Ah, nobody. All right. Well, because you can relate. So this is what it says in the word. The people come to Rehoboam and say, your father has made our yoke heavy. Now, therefore, lighten the hard service of your father and his heavy yoke on us. And listen to this, and we will serve you. Now, this is a whole nation. Whole nation coming to him saying that we're going to serve you. We're going to stay together. We're going to stay unified. But man, you got to cut back. All right. We can't just keep giving all everything we have to you and to all the things you want to do. And so he tells them, well, give me 3 days and go away and I'll come back with an answer. And so the first thing King Rehoboam did in the passage is he called in the old men. Now I'm not going to call any of the men out here old. You know who you are. But those old men, okay, so they get gathered together in this big room, and Rehoboam, he simply says, okay, guys, what should we do? I think it's a pretty good idea that he did that. So he brings them together, and this is what they took counsel, and he says, how do you want me to solve this? And they said to him, if you will be a servant to your people today and serve them, and speak good words to them when you answer them, they will be your servants forever. Isn't that great advice for our leaders today? Think about the people you're serving. Care about their needs. What's going on with them? That was the old guys. So all the old guys got together and they told him that. Unfortunately, this is what the last verse of that section says. Are you ready? Here it comes. But he abandoned the counsel of the old men. Sorry, guys. And he took counsel with the young men that he grew up with. And he stood before him. Well, basically, that says, you know what? I'm going to hang with my homeboys. That's what I'm doing. I'm hanging with my friends because my friends know so much more than my parents do. Good advice or bad advice? Okay. Well, that's kind of where he's at. Has anyone today ever done anything like that? Have you ever done anything like that? Come on now. We're a church and this is an altar and I'll make you come down. All right. So we've all been there. I've been there. Sometimes we take advice from our friends and it maybe wasn't the best thing to do. Now, I am not bashing Rehoboam's friends. I am not judging them that they didn't like him or love him. Maybe they even thought this was probably what was best. But the point was the result of taking advice from his friends in this situation is that the kingdom divided right in half. That's probably not the best advice to take, but that's what happens when you swallow advice from the wrong source. Well, let's look at another example. How about leaders? Now, this could be a lot of people in our lives. I look at teachers and coaches and, you know, even bosses could be leaders. There's a lot of people that could be leaders, people have great influence into your life. So there's a story in 2 Kings 5 about General Naaman. Yeah, he was a favorite general, and for good reason. He was really good at his job. And so the king didn't want to lose his general. Who wants to lose their best general during war times, right? Bad idea. So, but Naaman had received and had a terrible disease of leprosy, all right? So it was really affecting him in so many ways. And so the king of Syria said, look, I want you to go to the prophet over there in Israel. He can help you out. So he says, all right. So he writes a letter. He sends him an email and a text. And I never know which one's which, so I get it wrong all the time. But he sends him one of those things. And the prophet says, yeah, I could help you out, but you have to come here in person. You remember the story? So he goes in person, and he travels all that way, gets to the prophet's house, and the prophet never even comes outside. He just simply says, you know what? Oh, general's here. Just tell him to go to the Jordan River and bathe 7 times. Well, you remember the response, right? That was the advice that was given. Now, if you didn't know the story, this is hard for us, I know. But if you didn't know the story, is that good advice or bad advice? is there another river that I could go in? We got a lot of nicer rivers other places, you know. Maybe it's not the best, cleanest place. So basically, he gets angry, in other words, at the advice. You ever been there with people? I mean, they come to you for advice. And you have the best motives for them, but you tell them something they don't want to hear, and they get mad. Trust me, it happens to me a lot. All right, so they come, they ask me something, I tell them, they get upset. That's probably happened with you as well. And maybe it's flipped. Maybe you've been on the other side of that where somebody gave you some advice and you didn't like it at all. Well, that was name and situation. And he had it. He was angry. He's walking out of there, and on his way out, he had some really good friends. They grabbed him. Whoa, 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 whoa. Wait a second. We traveled all this way to the prophet. He's going to help you out. Now, if he'd asked you to do something really hard, like, you know, squat 5,000 pounds, you'd have tried to do it, all right? Bench press 2,000, whatever. But he told you to go down there. Why won't you do that? Come on, let's go. And he goes, and guess what? He gets healed. Woo! That's awesome. Now, you and I don't have leprosy, so we're not so excited about that. But can you imagine whatever your condition is? Literally. What is it that's on your heart right now? Maybe it's anxiousness is your leprosy. Maybe fear is your leprosy. There's something in your heart, or maybe physically something that is overwhelming you that is your leprosy. And if I were to tell you something that sounds way too crazy and too simple, would you get angry if I simply told you to say, trust the Lord? Go to him. He's just quoting scripture. I'm getting out of here. Naaman listened, humbled himself, and got healed. Good advice, great advice. But it wasn't easy. And oftentimes that's the issue. People don't like the counsel, so they consider it to be poor, when it could have been the best thing for them. Well, one more group is family. Now, you know, not every family member I'm going to go running to for advice, but like you, there's some that you would probably run to. By the way, I am not saying family or friends or even leaders are poor sources. The point of all of this is that in and of themselves as a human source, it's not necessarily good advice. It could be, depending upon what that human is saying. So we go to the family here. You know this story about Abram and Sarah. I'll just simply read it. Sarah didn't have a child, so she came up with this idea. Really good idea, she thought. All right, I don't have one, so we're going to try another way. So she had an Egyptian servant, name was Hagar. Sarah said to Abram, behold now, the Lord has prevented me from bearing children. Go to my servant, that it may be I may obtain children by her. And the next eight words have been a trouble for the world, including today, ever since then. Eight words! If he hadn't followed that advice, we would maybe be in a different situation even today in the Middle East and around the world. But this is what it says. And Abram listened to the voice of Sarah. Ouch. Now, normally, 99 out of 100 times, you know, you better follow your wife's advice. She's probably got some good advice. But there's every once in a while that maybe it's not the best. And that's what I'm saying. We have to be very careful. We cannot assume just because it comes from our friends or our families or our leaders or whatever it is, that the advice is good. It might be good. It might be bad. So we have really leads us to a more important question, which is what we're going to get to here now, is what makes advice good and what makes advice bad. I'm glad you asked. I'm going to give you three things. There's probably quite a few. Now, I wish I could have them all begin with the same letter. And this morning I challenged the 8 o'clock service to come up with a word for the third word. And they came up with one, and I'll give it a few did. I'll give it to you. But the first one is this. Good advice is truthful. Write that down. Truthful. Truthful. Advice, you must be upfront with people. You must be honest. Now, this is where opinion goes out the door, okay? So you take your opinion, your views, and everything else. You push it out because you want to give truth. This is what I love about certain doctors when I go into their office or whatever. Thing. I don't really want their opinion or what may or what. I want to know the truth about what's going on with the situation. What is it that I'm facing? And I need to know as much as you can tell me. I understand human limitations. So truth is a big deal. It needs to be timely. It must be timely. Timely is so important. Can you imagine Mordecai deciding that he's going to wait another 15 months or so to tell Esther to go meet the king? That would have been a problem, right? Timing, I know it's a cliche. It's true in this case. Timing is everything. It would have been nice. You ever have one of those situations in your own life where it would have been nice to know that little fact before he did something? Yeah, that's all happened to us. Oh, I wish I'd have known that. And you fill in the blank. Well, timing is a big part of good advice. You got to have truth, and it's got to be timely. We're going to talk about that in a little bit as well. Well, the third one is God honoring. Now, they told me this morning, I got a little feedback. They said, how about theological? I love the word theological. It's great. I just want to be careful that we think about, because somebody's going to argue, well, you know, I tell someone to pick up their toys, or I do something that may not be theological. Okay, maybe we can philosophical way get around to that being theological, that you honor your parents. So I just put God honoring. It's got to be God honoring. In other words, it's got to reflect the character of God. It's got to reflect the nature of God. It's got to reflect the truths of God. It doesn't go against Scripture. And so if the advice is given in a truthful manner, in a timely manner, in a God honoring manner, it's good advice. It's good advice. Now in our story, let's jump on that. So we're in verses, it's basically just two sections. We got verses 1-8, and it's Esther. Esther is now following the advice of Mordecai that he had given to her earlier. He pretty much, we need to go through those three words real quick. We need to ask the question, was the advice that Mordecai gave Esther truthful? Is that a thumbs up, sideways, or a thumbs down? Well, he pretty much said it. He said, listen, I got to tell you something. Don't think that you're going to escape any more than the other Jews. So he told her something that it was hurtful probably in her ears to hear. And maybe a little bit stepping on her toes, because she would have been happy running into the corner of the queen's palace and not have to deal with any of this. Remember earlier she started giving excuses a little bit? We all are into that. I'm not judging her. I mean, I'd be hiding in the kept palace corner too. But Mordecai gave good advice and said, don't think hiding over there behind that curtain is going to save you. It's not. You're going to be in just as much trouble. It's going to destroy your family, and it's going to affect millions of lives. So it was truthful, yes. Now, was it timely? Absolutely. He told it way ahead of time. He told it just when she needed to hear it. It wouldn't have done any good to wait till a year later when all this is being done. It was too late. So he tells it just in time. And that gets the story moving along well. And then, is it God honoring? Absolutely. It reflects his character 100%. Life and care and protection, all those things seem to really revolve around God himself. So it reflects God, his character. It doesn't violate Scripture in any way, especially when you're talking about protecting life. Amen. We want to protect life, all life, born and unborn. And so those three things are there. So Esther acted wisely. But sometimes for us, it can be a little challenging. Truthful. Let's think about it just for a moment from our side. When we are having an opportunity to give advice and to be truthful with someone, are you? Do you give them truth that's based upon a source, and that source being the Word of God, or do you give an opinion? This is where a whole book should be written about advice, because we can't possibly deal with that in 20 minutes to half an hour. But for us as Christians, for us as believers, those who are, it's about truth. And some of the best things you can do for the people around you in a kind way, in a respectful way, you need to be telling them the truth. We kind of avoid that sometimes. I think we avoid it because we're a little nervous. We're nervous about, well, what might happen if I tell them the truth? I might lose a relationship. Can you imagine if Mordecai did that? Imagine if Mordecai held back because he was concerned that Esther might be mad at him. Can you imagine that? What would happen to the Jews? What happened to everyone else, including him? It would have been a disaster. But sometimes we hold back a little bit. We need to just let that go, and in a respectful, honest, loving way, and how we talk, everything. I'm talking about our tone, our attitude, and all that. We need to speak the truth in love. It's very important. Are you awake out there? I'm telling you the truth about this. And we also need to make sure that it's timely. It's timely. Now, I'm going to tell you a true story. I may have told this before. I used to work for a vet in the seminary. It was one of my many jobs that I worked to get through seminary. And he was a surgeon vet, and he was very well known for certain surgeries. So people would come literally from all over the region, different states, to his business. And we had a lot of boarders there in the kennel, and he'd done a lot of surgeries. I remember this one cat that came in one day. And this cat was a Garfield cat. I looked it up. I even asked the question, kind of cat is Garfield? They said it was a Persian tabby. I never heard of that before. But this cat looked just like Garfield, except he made Garfield look small. This cat was about this long and about 32 pounds. It was a huge cat. But that wasn't his best quality. This cat, it could have... literally, I believe, came from the pits of hell. I am not kidding. So if the cage is here, all right, let's line up our cage. Let's not touch the guitar. That's a nice guitar. All right. We line up our cage here. So there's the cage, and I have a little space to get to the back room where all the dogs are. They actually kept the dogs and cats apart. Good idea. So I'm walking by this cage, and it's a big cage. It's a big cat. This cat's sitting back there, and he jumps out, lunges, reaches through the cage, and sticks a swat at me, and just goes, evil spirit! That thing terrified me. Now, I had to put up with that. So when I feed the cat, you can only imagine, right? I put on those cat gloves. Yeah, you ever wore a cat glove? No, most of you hadn't. Well, they're supposed to protect you. Anyway, so I opened the thing and I tossed the food in and slammed the door, and I didn't care if it was messy. Well, one day the doc came to me and he said, okay, this is what I want you to do. I want you to go get the cat and bring him to me. I was taught to be obedient, but there was a little bit of me right here. I was like, I am not going to do that. But I felt like I got to give it a try. And so I did. I walked up, and I'm shaking. I opened up that big door, and there it was. And he's looking at me. I'm looking at him. And there was nothing I could do. I had cat gloves with cat gloves on cat gloves. He was shredding the gloves. Shredding them. All right? These are supposed to be protective. And I finally just shut the door after about 5 minutes. And I know he was waiting because he's setting up the surgery room. And I go back. I felt terrible. But I said, you're going to have to get that cat. I can't get it. And so, you know what he does? He walks back there, and on the way, he picks up a towel, and he turns around, and he goes right up to the cat. He throws a towel on the cat, picks the cat up. It's acting like a little newborn baby that's happy, and takes it to the surgery room. And I'm sitting there going, what just happened? What just happened? He said, oh, if you throw a towel over him, he'll calm right down. That would have been nice to know a while ago. Look at my four hands. I had three fingers missing, you know. Timely advice, right? Timely advice. How do you like getting advice like a day later? Oh, that was really helpful. By the way, that's never good to tell someone advice you should have told them 24 hours earlier. They're probably not going to be happy about that. So we see here Esther is receiving some timely advice, and it certainly is God honoring. And we need to make sure as we interact, we speak the truth, but we got to speak timely. If there's a situation that we see ahead of time, like someone in a relationship, and you can see this crash is about to happen, but you know, and you're walking away, say, it's none of my business. Oh, my. We're trying to hide in the palace. It's not a good thing. We have to be careful about whose lives we jump into. I do understand that. I get that. But if someone's close to someone or a family member or friend, you're close and you have that rapport, interaction, we need to speak truth, and we need to speak it in a timely fashion, in a God-honoring way. But what I love about Esther here, and it's so big, is that not only was she shrewd and wise, she was very brave. She was brave. It could have cost her her life. Most of the time, the worst that we get with people is offending them is that they don't want to be our friends anymore. All right? Okay, that's sad. But we normally don't get a gun to our head. She was getting the gun to the head. But she knew she had to do it, and so she mustered up that courage, and she went to the king. She followed the advice, which leads us to James 4:17. Are you ready? To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not. Did you catch that? To him that has gotten, received good advice, truthful advice, timely advice, God-honoring advice, to him who has that advice inside of him and chooses not to do it, guess what it is? To him, it's sin. She didn't let that happen. Amazing, amazing courage. Well, that is Our Lady Esther, and I'm so glad I was able to find this in the archives in Israel, the colored photo of those two. You didn't know what they looked like. I thought you might like to find out. I have some here, and here's this guy. Poor fella. Yeah. Why does a sinister guy always have to have a beard? I don't get that. Why can't a nice guy have a beard? Right, I'm saying? But anyway, there he is. This is supposed to be Haman, I guess. I don't know who took this photo. Well, let's talk just a moment about the advice he took. Now, we're jumping again. I want to just reread that one verse where it says, Zeresh and all his friends said to him, hey, I got a great idea. I know what we could do. Let's build some gallows. Doesn't that sound like a wonderful idea? What is his problem? He's just angry at this guy. You know, he's upset. Well, let's kill him. Does that sound like today's society? It's not so funny, is it now? That's what people are doing now. People are acting out of their minds. They get so upset about things and they act out rashly. Just because he didn't like him, he's going to bully him. He's going to kill him or try to. I mean, it's crazy. But that's the advice. And the idea seemed like, hey, that seems like a great idea. I don't like him, so I'm going to take him out. Now, today, we don't hopefully build 75-foot gallows, but we take people out, don't we? Let's take the guy out I don't like. The next time I see him, I'm going to ignore him. Ow. I'm not going to be nice to him. I'm going to defriend him off of whatever you defriend people off of. I'm going to cut him out of my life. I'm going to speak poorly about him. I'm going to hang him every way I can. That's the kind of advice that Haman received. It makes you wonder about Haman taking that kind of advice. I mean, wouldn't you feel a little weird about that rash of a move? But that's he said, yeah, let's do it. So he listens to it. And it, as we'll see in another week, it's probably, it is the worst decision he ever made. Now, we know this isn't good advice for one reason. It isn't God-honoring at all. I mean, he's punishing someone because he doesn't like him. That takes me back to junior high and high school days, right? Don't you see that all the time with students, athletes, musicians? Doesn't matter. I mean, sometimes they don't like a person, so they bully them. What's that? It's bad. We know that's wrong, so we know this advice is bad, and he should not have taken it, which leads us to a question that is significant. Why do people take bad advice? You should write that down and talk about it with friends and family. I'm going to give you three things from the scripture, I think, that really point out. There are a lot more, though. There really are. That's why this could be a book. It could really be a book. The first thing I see is why people today, even Christians can take bad advice is because they lack humility. Listen to this from Proverbs 12. A fool thinks he needs no advice. You know anybody like that? They don't really want to hear advice from you or anybody. Then it says, but a wise man listens to others. So people who aren't humble and don't have a humility type kind of a character probably are wide open to taking bad advice, because it takes a humble person to realize, I don't know everything, and I need guidance and help in many areas in my life. And the older I get, the more I read, the more I realize I don't know very much, and I need a lot of love and help and support and prayers. Amen? Yeah. Yeah, that's what it is. And so they just do that. And I think pretty much Haman was an arrogant man. And so he lacked humility. A second reason people will take bad advice, and I see this all in here, especially from the reaction. Did you catch that in the text? Where all these things Haman was saying about him, hey, look at me. He's bragging. Really, God had blessed him with a lot of things. And look what he says in verse 13. All this is worth nothing to me. Wow. You mean your family's worth nothing to you? And they seem to be all healthy. You mean all your riches? You're like the richest man in the kingdom. That's worth nothing to you. All of it because why? Because I see Mordecai the Jew. Ouch. Sitting at the king's gate. What's the second reason people will not take bad advice? And here it is. This will hit every one of us at some point. It's because they pursue a feeling over pursuing Christ. In Haman's situation, he wanted the feeling of revenge. This guy upset him, and he wanted the guy to feel the knife of how it feels. And so he thinks he's possessed by it. And so he moves that way. He's not listening to anyone else to say, you know what? Let it go, buddy. What is your problem? No, rather, he says, I'm going to get back. I'm getting my revenge. There's just one problem with that. It certainly isn't biblical, because the Bible says, revenge is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. That's not our role. So revenge, but sometimes they want to pursue a feeling of just feeling good. And doesn't this happen so much with the people, and maybe even our own lives, that we're sharing godly advice I trust with? They're with you as you're talking, and you're going back and forth in the counseling room or across the table or having coffee or whatever it is together, and all of a sudden you say something to them that they just can't swallow. They don't like it. They don't like it. It has nothing to do that it's not true. It has to do because it hurts. It hurts to hear. It hurts to hear a friend come up to you and say, you know what? You are acting like a child. What is your problem? We don't like to hear that. And immediately, what do we all do? Come on. We build the wall, don't we? He's upset me now. He didn't give me the feeling I wanted to have. I'll never forget that happening to me at Bible college. I was at Bible college and I was getting straight A's. Right? And obviously I'm arrogant, so one afternoon, but I got in a habit because I had such good Sunday school teachers and preachers growing up. First year of Bible college was like to me. That's why going to Bible school and going to Sunday school and all those things are very important. Bible studies, man, you can learn so much if you listen. But anyway, so I'm sitting there. I take naps every afternoon. My RA comes up stomping. He is stomping mad. He busts into my room. Now, this is a Vietnam helicopter pilot. It went and picked up guys with live ammo being shot at him as he's picking them up during the Vietnam War. He's like 36 or 37 at the time, and I'm like 18 years old, right? And he starts getting all over me. And he says hard things about me. I'm being lazy. I'm not doing what I could do. And I said, I'm getting straight A's. He says, I didn't ask you about your grades. Well, I lost all my argument right there. I'm asking you about a lifestyle, a commitment, a character quality, and you lack it. Well, being the mature Christian I was angry with him. But the Holy Spirit spoke to me quickly, and I realized he's right. So I stopped the naps and I started the library and I started running and I started doing other things, filling my time with profitable things. People often don't take advice or they take bad advice because they're looking for a certain feeling rather than pursuing Christ. That's what Haman's after. He doesn't care about God. He cares about himself, obviously, if you just read the text. That will mess you up every time. And the third reason we see here, it sticks out pretty well, is there's no faith in God. There's nothing there. And I think that's a big issue with even Christians. We don't have to say non-Christians. They don't trust the Lord. They have trust issues with God because things in their life haven't worked out the way they thought they would. And so it's so easy to blame God for things. Let's just blame God. So they lack faith. But Proverbs tells us that that's not how we grow. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 especially just makes that clear. Trust in the Lord. Trust is key. What's our solution? What are we supposed to do? How are we supposed to deal with all this stuff? Well, the solution is simply that we need to go to the right source. God uses human agents, but he uses it with his word, his spirit, his timing. And so as we think about the solution, it really is about God and his word. That's the source, that's the foundation that we build upon. So now I don't have a problem in a right spirit coming to a brother or sister in the Lord and saying, this is what's happening and this is why it's wrong and it's nothing to do with me and it has to do with this, and then you show them in the word of God. That's the difference. And by the way, parents, you're going to get a lot farther with your kids. And in the long run, they're going to respect you a whole lot more if you throw your opinions aside and do more of what God's word has to say. That's going to help. You might have good opinions. I'm not saying you never give an opinion, but I trust it's based upon God honoring truths. And so the Bible is definitely that, because God's word is truthful. It's truthful. So it passes the first part. Everything you can read about it is true. You can trust the Bible. If the Bible says that you should do this or you should do that, you can trust the Bible. And if the Bible says if you do this that's wrong, you're going to get this, you can trust the Bible. So for us, the source is huge, and you can trust the Bible. But you can also trust it because it's very timely. It's timely. And I would say to you today, there might be someone watching or someone here today, here's a phrase from the Bible that is truth and it is timely. Are you ready? Might be worth being here. Today is the day of salvation. Today. There might be someone in here that has not ever come to the place where they know for certain that if God were to call you, if you were to drive out of here and God forbid there be an accident and your life is lost, that you would go to heaven and that your sins are forgiven. You don't have confidence that you are God's. The Bible says he has given us this word in his son that we may know that we can have eternal life. And this life is in his son, Jesus Christ. You can know even now that you're saved. You don't have to wonder, well, I wonder if I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm saved. Stop that now. The Bible tells us this, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, Jesus is Lord. Who's willing to do that this morning? Anybody? Jesus is Lord? Let's hear you say it. Jesus is Lord. All right. You believe in your heart that God hath raised him, Lord Jesus, from the dead. Amen. Thou shalt be saved. Words don't save. My cheerleading won't save you. Salvation comes from within the heart. That's right. My friend, if you don't know that and you're not sure, if you're bothered right now, and I'm not looking to see who's bothered, that's the Holy Spirit. He's talking to you. I got a word for you. It's truthful, it's timely, and it's God-honoring. Today is the day for your salvation. Give your heart to Jesus right now. Don't wait. Cry out to God right now. God, I know that I sin, and I know that I deserve hell, and I also know that you sent your son Jesus to die on the cross for my sin and rose him from the dead so that I can have eternal life. And right now, I'm turning from whatever it is I'm trusting and holding on to, and I'm trusting Jesus as my Savior, because Jesus saved. And Jesus alone. Do that right now. Don't wait for me to grab your hand and pray. Do it now. Do it now. The Bible gives good advice, complete advice. It gives timely advice, and it gives God-honoring advice. Which leads us really to the question for us as we close our time here this morning. Who is it you're listening to? We've said this multiple times. It'll come up again. There are a lot of voices out there, and we have to be careful which ones we're listening to. It's important that we go to those that have the right source. I am not saying don't ever listen to your friends. I am not saying don't ever listen to your family. I am not saying don't ever listen to your leaders. I'm asking you to be like the Bereans. If you don't know who those people are, look it up this afternoon for lunch before you eat, okay? Find out who they are. They were people that heard the message and they went back to make sure the preacher was preaching right. Look at the source of the advice. If it just makes you feel good, you better watch out. Because like Satan, he likes to give the candy up front. And then guess what? You pay for it the rest of your life. Where God says, give me your life up front, and I will bless you the rest of your life. Who are you listening to? I love this verse. This is actually a paraphrase from Proverbs 13:14. The advice of a wise man refreshes like water. Isn't it nice to get good advice? From a mountain spring, and those accepting it become aware of the pitfalls on ahead. Oh, God is offering us today and every day. And this is the great thing about grace that I love. Every day, no matter how, can I use the word stupid? I don't know if I'm supposed to, but I just did. How stupid we can be in our decisions. It seems like every day and sometimes multiple times, doesn't God give us other paths to work our way back to Him? This is your chance. This is my chance. So we're going to take a moment, just a moment, if you would with me, bow your heads and let the Lord, whatever He's speaking to you. Now, you might be here today and you don't have this salvation. You don't believe, you don't know that you're saved. Your step is simply right now, trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. We've walked through that already. Don't wait. Today is your day of salvation. But for you, Christian, I'm talking to you now. What is it that the Holy Spirit is speaking to you about? You just meditate on that just for like 15 seconds. God's advice for you and me? Do it. Follow through. Father in heaven, as we close our time here this morning, we thank you for this book that gives us counsel, wise advice, and provides for us not just the text of the advice, but examples of what happens when we follow and when we don't. And Lord, we are overwhelmed by your patience and mercy and grace in our life. We don't deserve it. And together, we just say thank you, God, for loving us. I thank you for the grace of God that does bring salvation to all men. And thank you for that same salvation, that same grace that teaches us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we can live and should live and must live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world as we look forward to that time where the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ is coming. Until that day comes, Lord, I pray that we'll take the advice your Spirit is giving us, whatever that is. Maybe there's a sin we must confess. Maybe there's a relationship we need to at least on our side deal with reconciling it biblically. Maybe there's a fear that we're holding on to that, Lord, we got to deal with this biblically. And if we need to get counseling, Lord, I pray that we'll seek that out. We thank you for our church that provides biblical counseling. Lord, we also thank you for the way that you provide us help and pathway over fears and anger and relationship issues. And I pray that we'll find the right advice to be an Esther, have the courage to go get it, and to do it for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together.